time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with a Saturday morning sun, pop down the living room floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm a teenage girl from the future possessing the body of Chris.
I wish you were. But if you hadn't guessed by now, or if you hadn't read the title, which you probably should before you listen to episodes, this morning we watched Your Name, also known as Kimi no Nawa.
And this was suggested by Jason Madzak. And sir, I have a bone to pick with you and your mad sack. You previously made me cry by having me watch Life with Louie. Not cool, man. And now you made me cry again, not once, but twice.
I think that should Dang just be it. Jason's mission from now on is to make us cry.
Jason!
Jason!
Can't take you anywhere.
But thank you for the suggestion, Jason.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
So the movie, Your Name, period, actually. So it's like, it's Your Name, period, because that's the way the title's written out. So
like the word, period.
Not,
no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's just not the word.
Your name, period.
Your name, the actual, an actual period. But we'll just say Your Name.
Punctuation.
This was created in 2016 by Makoto Shinkai, and it's based on the novel of the same name that he created, also in 2016, I believe, or finished in 2016. Produced by Comix Wave Films, distributed by Toho. It was released in Japan in theaters in 2016, and very, very limited release in the U.S. Actually, in the U.S., it did air at, I think, an anime convention or something of the sort back in 2016 at one point, but then it got a more wide release in 2017, which is how I caught it. And for a short synopsis, two strangers find themselves linked in a bizarre way. When a connection forms, will distance be the only thing to keep them apart? The answer is no. No, it will not.
I was going to say, nope. There's going to be a lot of things to keep them apart.
Indeed. This is a great description of that movie. Really, you
without
could just say
revealing too much. Yeah.
Without revealing anything, you could just say everything possible is keeping these two apart.
Yes. Yes. Except for like a killer whale. That's not involved.
It could have been.
Peanut butter sandwich, not involved.
Maybe.
So I guess there's a lot of things that aren't keeping them apart, but there's also a lot of things that are keeping them apart.
That might be more astute.
To be fair.
Yeah, to be perfectly accurate. So Chris, who are some of the actors who played in this movie?
All right, so the character of Mitsuha was voiced by Mone Kameshiraishi and Stephanie She in the English. You can tell that this is going to go between the Japanese and then the English dub. So just heads up there, guys. Voice of Taki, provided by Ryunosuke Kamiki and Michael Santernaclaus. The character Miss Okudera was voiced by Masami Nagasawa and Laura Post. The grandmother was voiced by Estuko Ichihara and Glynis Ellis. Mitsuha's little sister, Yotsua, was voiced by Kanon Tani and Katie Harvey. Voice of Teshi was voiced by Ryo Narita and Kyle Herbert. The voice of Sayaka was Ayo Yuki, who was actually a character from the anime Erased that we watched previously. She was the voice of Kayo Hinazuki, the main girl. Yeah. And then in English, she was voiced by Cassandra Morris. Tsukasa was voiced by Nobunaga Shimazaki and Ben Pronsky. And then the voice of Shinta was voiced by Kaito Ishikawa and Ray Chase.
That was probably the easiest name on there. Ray Chase.
My mouth hurts, guys. It hurts saying all these names. I'm not built for this.
For anyone who isn't aware, I guess, to start this out, this was an anime film. So that's why we're going to be, we both happen to watch it subtitled. So, but yes, there is also a dubbed version now, which I hear is very faithfully done by Funimation.
Yes. Yeah, I've listened to a couple people review the dubbed version because like Joseph said, neither of us watched the dub. But I was interested to see how the dub was. And everybody is saying that this is the best dub that we've ever gotten for English. and that there was only like one specific scene that was changed because it wouldn't make sense for American audiences, because it is a part where the male who is being possessed by a female at the time refers to themselves, but uses the female pronoun. And that doesn't translate in English because we don't have masculine and feminine pronouns for saying I or me. But in Japan and other languages like French and things like that, they have masculine and feminine pronouns. So that didn't work. So they changed it to be like a different joke.
Okay. Well, and I mean, that would make sense. Yeah, that would make sense then. So here's a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Your Name cereal. First of all, this is the first anime film not made by Studio Ghibli or Hayao Miyazaki to gross 10 billion yen at the Japanese box office, which is about 98 Jeez. Million US dollars.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of monies.
That is a lot of yen. The red braided cord that Misuha wears represents the invisible red string of fate that is said to connect someone to their fated person according to Japanese tradition. So that's something you might not, I mean, you get it from the movie, but it's not something an American audience would necessarily understand the reference to. But you could see that being the case, just how often it's shown and in the way that it's used.
So I think, and I could be wrong, I might be mixing this up, but the folklore with the whole red string thing, I believe, is also folklore from China. But in China, I think it's the red cord is tied around their ankles and they're attached that way. And then in Japan, I think it's the left pinky finger. And so that's like the red cord of like fate or marriage or what have you. But it's really cool. And we see it so many times in this movie. And there's a lot of other things alluding to it. Like there's a comet and the comet's tail is red. And the girl's wearing a red hair in her ribbon. And just like, it's just a thing that keeps coming back and back and back all throughout this film.
Yeah, that's true. But it's something, and I think this happens in a lot of spots actually, where there's Japanese or Asian culture folklore that we might not, that an American audience might not understand, but it doesn't take away from the movie at all. I think it's just, it's almost like when you have Easter eggs in a video game or even a TV show or movie, it's like, the fans that know it will appreciate it, but it also doesn't mean it deters from the overall product of whatever you're presenting.
Exactly. Like that kind of stuff was stuff that like, so I watched the film, read a little bit about it afterwards, and then, you know, found stuff like this out and I'm like, oh man, that makes it even cooler than I thought it was. So it's just kind of like little enhancements. Like once you're in the know,
yeah.
You know,
Then
I watched this whole thing a second time, and then like watching it a second time through, I was catching so many cool things that I wouldn't have caught the first time. And I'm like, man, this is awesome.
Nice.
Yes. And I cried both times. The same parts.
Oh, yeah. Which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what made you cry.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Jason is too.
Dang it, Jason.
Jason. So, Mitsuha, her name means three leaves and follows a family trait. Her grandmother, Hitoha, is one leaf. Her mother, Futaba, is two leaves. And her little sister, Yotsuha, is four leaves. So,
oh, that's cool.
That's kind of an interesting fact. I don't know that it has relevance to the narrative of the film at all, but it's still a neat little fact, little tidbit.
Yeah, that's kind of cute.
Yep. Two Nintendo video game platforms can be seen in the room in which Mitsuha and her friends plan their actions late in the film. A Famicom, known in the West as a Nintendo Entertainment System, of course, and an orange GameCube. Both of the shown designs were exclusively available in Japan, so that's awesome.
Aww.
Yeah. Yohiro Noda, the lead vocalist of the Japanese rock band Radwimps, composed the theme music of Your Name. The director requested him to compose its music in a way that the music will supplement the dialogue or monologue of the characters, and it absolutely does. What I'm grateful for is that they subtitled the music as well in a lot of cases, because that made it make a lot more sense to me. And one of the songs really stuck out to me, just the tune of it specifically, but also once I got to see the actual words to it, it was that one that's like, just wait a little longer. I think it's like Time Flyers or Time Climbers, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was just such a beautiful song.
You know what? Like the soundtrack of this was fantastic.
Oh yeah. Overall.
And I know that I think it's the main theme. not sure, but so the main theme, I think there is a music video for it, and on YouTube it already has like over 100 million views.
Wow.
Which is a ridiculous amount for YouTube. Like that's insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I mean, this is basically this film is a big deal, especially for Japan, but it's not just Japan. It is now becoming a huge deal here too, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'll talk about this in a second too, but it's one of those things that like completely was under my radar, and then I started seeing it everywhere, like people talking about it, not necessarily advertisements, but just social media erupted with it. And it just kind of coincided with when Jason had suggested it to us. So we decided to check it out.
Yeah. I think it was only like a week or two ago, I saw a lot of people I follow on social media. All of a sudden, this was all they're talking about. Like it was everywhere. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And we got his request around that period. And we're like, okay, we got to do it. We have to see what this is about because everyone is talking about this.
See what all the hubbub is about. And it was totally worth it. I'm really glad that we jumped into this. So we might as well just jump into it now and start talking about the movie. And let me say this firsthand, is this is not going to be spoiler free because these shows never are. But this is one of those movies where if you haven't seen it, you owe it to yourself to go see it. Not that I would ever say don't listen to this podcast, but I'm going to say right now, you owe it to yourself to go see this movie if you really have any intention of seeing it before you hear what it's all the going ons about it.
Yeah, I agree. You need to see this before we ruin it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Go watch it, then come back and listen to this. You'll enjoy this episode a lot more after you've seen it.
Exactly. So,
because then you'll be like, oh my God, yes, what they're saying is great.
Right.
Because they're always right. And I'll be like, yeah, dude. I mean,
of course.
Of course.
But yeah, that's our little upfront warning. And
you've been warned.
Yeah, you've been warned, just so nobody can be sad about this. And I'm going to say it again, go see it before you listen to this. Yes. And
spoilers.
Now we're going to go ahead and get started in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And let's go. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers. That's my
Is that
siren.
Your spoiler alarm.
Spoilers.
Jason.
Jason. Dang it.
All right. So just to start it off, it's like we're kind of getting some different perspectives. Actually, to start it off, we see, I think it starts with the Taki kind of seeing this comet flying overhead, and we're seeing like pieces like split off of it in the distance.
Yes.
But he's in Tokyo, in his apartment building and looking outward at it. And it means nothing to us at this point, except, oh, that's cool. That's a beautiful sight.
Yeah. And there's another thing that happens too. Like it's almost like, so the beginning of this thing, while it's playing the music, we're getting little bits and pieces of what feels like memories or something.
Mm.
And another one, with what he said, is Taki on a train, him and this girl are being separated, and she's pulling this ribbon off her hair and handing it to him. And he says, what's your name? And she says, Mitsuha. And then it cuts to something else again. And everything's really kind of fuzzy and faded. So you're automatically know this is some sort of dream or memory that we're seeing, and it's not entirely understood.
And no, not by us at all at this point. And something that it's kind of going back and forth between perspectives of who's narrating here, and we're just hearing them talk about how basically there's a void in their life. There's something missing and they don't know what it is. And it's going back and forth. It starts very much like I would almost say like a romance film, to where it's like, you know, there's something missing in my life, blah, 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 blah. And it's the pathing of it kind of leads you to believe that's what it's going to be, is just a very straightforward, but in no way is it straightforward at a certain point.
You know, not so much after the first big scene we get with Mitsuha, but the first scene we get of her was confusing because I think they cut too fast. So what happens is, Mitsuha wakes up, well, at least we think it's Mitsuha, and wakes up, is kind of groaning, and then starts grabbing her boobs. Like squeezing them. She's like, this is really realistic. And then her sister comes in, is like, why are you squeezing your boobs? And she's like, it feels so real. And then she's like, breakfast is ready, and walks out. But then Mitsuha comes out and everything's fine. And they're like, oh, you're acting normal today and stuff.
But I know exactly what you mean, because this was very confusing to me before I knew what was actually going on. And maybe that was intentional, but it's that cut is so hard that it doesn't even feel like time has passed or it's the next day. It feels like the same scene.
Exactly, because then she's coming out in her school uniform to get breakfast. But what happens is in between that scene and her coming out to breakfast, that's the day later when she actually comes to breakfast. So there's an entire day in between those two scenes that we did not see. And that was so confusing for me.
Yeah,
at first.
Right off the bat, of course. And what you should know at the beginning of this is, and it's something that we learned very early on, is that, and I don't know the exact logistics behind it, because they say at one point it's when they fall asleep or something that the other person takes over, and I guess that's the logic to it, but it seems like they're just on a very different sleep schedule, I guess, because they take over like complete days of the other person's body. But I guess when one of them falls asleep, they just kind of switch, and when the other person wakes up, they're already in the other body.
Yeah, what happens is, so they go to sleep at night. One person might not jump immediately into that body. I think they sleep and they dream, you know, as themselves. But when they wake up, Taki's mind is in Mitsuha's body and Mitsuha's mind is in Taki's body. And they are each other for a full day until they go to sleep again. The next day they wake up and they're back in their own bodies.
Right. Okay.
And so they have a normal day. Then they go to sleep again. They wake up in each other's bodies again. So it's basically every other day they are each other instead of themselves.
It almost starts off like a comedy too, like a romantic comedy, because of the way that the pacing of it and everything, and the interactions, where especially when Mitsuha takes over Taki's body and she's going to school, meeting his friends, and what's entertaining to watch is how much the girls start liking Taki at that point, because, you know, he is a girl speaking to the girls, and he's basically a much more confident and less creepy him at this point. And so he becomes popular with the women, specifically one of his coworkers. What was her name?
Miss Okudera.
One of his coworkers at this restaurant that he works at.
And it's weird because she's not that much older than them. I get that she's like probably college age, where Taki is high school age.
But she's like a manager versus his...
of the restaurant he works
at.
Yeah. So, you know, like you said, there's a lot of comedy up front. Like I already said, when Taki wakes up in Mitsuha's body, he's like squeezing her boobs, and because they think the first day, they both think that it's all a dream.
Yeah.
Just a really weird dream. So, you know, who wouldn't? And what's funny is when Mitsuha wakes up in Taki's body and then discovers her new manhood for the first time, she like screams, which is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And like her cheeks turn red and everything. She's really shy about it.
Yeah. What's really funny is when like the things that really like get them the most, like Taki in Mitsuha's body is embarrassed about like more like day to day kind of things. But like Mitsuha is like in Taki's body is more stressed out by having to go to the bathroom as a boy.
Oh, yeah.
Because every time she's just like, no. It's pretty funny.
I think conversely, on the other side of it, where when Taki is in Mitsuha's body, he also makes her more popular in school because he's just kind of like a laid back.
He's
like
a hothead.
Real, yeah. Well, in her body, he's just like laid back, real chill about everything. Yeah. Like in art class, he's a really good artist, so people are impressed by his art. And then he's just like kicking his legs up, relaxing.
Well, and like there's the one scene where Mitsuha's father is like running for a governor or something, and people are kind of sort of talking behind her back a little bit, and Taki in Mitsuha's body catches wind of it and asks one of the friends, like, they're talking about me, aren't they? And she's like, yeah. And so he like kicks the desk over and makes kind of a scene, and then just like stares him down and looks at him and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like sticking up for her using her own body. So it's like, yeah, he's like being kind of protective in that way, even though like it's kind of for himself at that time, but it's still protecting her.
Right. And they, at first, like you said, they think it's a dream, but then they start to communicate through means of one of them is leaving messages in a diary. I think Taki's leaving messages in her diary, and then
he wrote, "Who are you?"
Yeah, and then she is leaving messages in his phone, I believe. Just
at first, she does it on his hand. She takes a marker and writes Mitsuha on his hand.
Right.
So when he wakes up the next day, he sees the name Mitsuha. And then they start doing that back and forth, and they're doing stuff in each other's phones. And I like this because this is where it really feels like a romantic comedy, because they're kind of messing with each other a little bit, and they're getting annoyed with each other because they're interfering in each other's lives. So they're having to set rules. There's one part where they're getting annoyed with each other, so they both write on each other's faces, which is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good scene.
Oh, we should say, because I don't think we mentioned it, but I did say that Taki lives in like the city of Tokyo, but Mitsuha lives in some kind of like really rural area where it's like farmland and stuff. And kind of like what you would think of as like traditional Japanese like movies where it's very, very focused on the culture. She herself is a big part of her father is mayor of this town, and she herself is a big part of the culture as a whole.
Yeah, she's a shrine maiden.
Her
sister and her grandmother are all shrine maidens at this specific shrine.
They do this thing that doesn't make sense to me, but I'm sure it has Japanese significance, where they basically make sake out of their own spit fermenting in rice or something.
That's a super, super old tradition.
Yeah.
Like, extremely old, that probably isn't actually done anymore. If it is, it's probably very unusual, but it's basically they take rice under their mouths, they chew it up, and then they let the saliva drip into these like pots, and it sits for so many years and ferments, and that becomes sake. And it's a very specific kind of sake. In addition to that, they also make these braided cords that wrap around trees and things like that. They're often seen braiding cords and doing stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. She, her grandmother, and her little sister.
Yes. That sake has significance, though, that comes into play later. You know, there's a lot of stuff. And like I said, watching this a second time helped me, because there are so many things that happened towards the beginning of this film that all get called back later. And even things that don't seem significant at all in the beginning become very significant later. Like, there's even a scene where I think it's the first time we see Taki in Mitsuha's body at school. This teacher is talking about, is doing language and is writing words on the board, and is writing the word for twilight, and starts talking about twilight and says, this is the period between day and night, but isn't either, and you might encounter something more supernatural during that time period, which just sounds like a throwaway, this is them in school lesson, but that is a huge thing later. Like, there's so much of that in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, as I think back on it, I only saw it the one time, but I was able to kind of reflect back. You having seen it twice, I'm sure have a lot more info than I do on some of those things, or a lot more realization of some of those callbacks. But even seeing it the first time, like, you immediately think back to some of those scenes, like, oh man, like, that's why that happened.
Right.
And I feel like, for the most part, anything that might have seemed like a throwaway has relevance to it in this film. It all ties together so well.
I don't think there's a single scene that is actually a throwaway.
Sure.
Even the scenes I thought were going to be, like, I was proven wrong every single time.
So we've got I guess we could kind of talk about, like, how this transition begins from romantic comedy into something much different, where Taki decides he wants to go and visit Mitsuha, to meet her in person, since, you know, they have been switching bodies and everything. So Taki tries to go. He gets on a train with two of his friends, I guess.
Well, hang on. Oh, let's preface this real quick. Is these two, like, so they've been switching back and forth. We don't know how long, but I guess a significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting really invested in his life in the city. He's getting very invested in her life in the country, and doing all of the, shrine things and learning about the gods and all kinds of stuff. And then she had set him up on a date with Miss Okudera. And he kind of realizes on that date that he's not, you know, that he's actually in love with Mitsuha and not this person he thought he had a crush on.
Mm-hmm.
So then he wants to get a hold of her. He has her cell phone number. I don't know when that happened. Tries to call her. He can't get through because it says it's been disconnected. They don't switch again. Like, they stop switching. And then he's just like, I have to find her.
Yes. And so his mission at that point becomes, I need to go and meet her. I need to find out what's happening. And we're kind of clueless at this point as to, you know, why. Like, why she stopped answering, why they stopped switching bodies.
The last thing that we saw from Mitsuha's side was the comment. Because, well, we saw that she had cut her hair. Doesn't seem significant, but it is. She cut her hair really short, and her friends are like, oh my gosh, did you have a breakup or something? They go and watch this comet, because this comet called Tiamat is flying over the area where Mitsuha lives. And the last thing that we see from her side before they stop switching sides is this comet breaks apart, and we see a red trail kind of coming down, and then that's the last of we see from her for a while.
Yeah.
And then it's just Taki for quite a while in this movie.
Yeah, Taki and friends go to visit. They don't know exactly. Well, first, I guess, before they even go anywhere, he starts drawing out from memory, like, all of these places he's seen and these areas he's visited as Mitsuha, because I guess it never really came up, or maybe something to point out is, since this is like, these body changes are almost like dreams themselves. After they wake up, they kind of start forgetting a little bit of actually what's happened, as you do in a dream. You know, they become kind of foggy. So he doesn't remember the name of the town or anything that she lives in, if he ever even heard it. So he's trying to just sketch out all these scenes that he does remember so that he can kind of trace his way back there. He knows like a very general direction where it is, but not necessarily how to get there or the exact name of the city. So he's
right.
Fruitlessly traveling around with his friends. They spend like a whole day trying to find this place. No one can tell them where it is. Then they finally end up at this diner type place, and he's kind of looking over one of the drawings, like, just basically given up at this point, ready to go back to Tokyo. And the waitress comes up and she's like, oh, that's a really good drawing of, I can't remember the city's name, but that's a really good drawing of Itamori or something like that. And yeah. He's like, oh, okay, like, this is it. This is what he needed to find out. But then
she grabs the cook from the back and she's like, take a look at this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's like, oh, Itamori, that's where I grew up. It brings back memories. And he's like, oh, how can we get there? And they're like, wait, you don't know? And at that point, his two friends that are with him are like, oh, no, that's the place. So,
yeah.
Oh, man, this was hard. This was hard to watch. So then, like, they travel to the place, and this place is a wasteland. It's been destroyed. And it happened 3 years ago. And Taki just can't even believe it. He's like kind of beside himself, and he goes to a library with them, and they find a book about it. And at least 500 people were killed there. And he's looking through. He sees the names of Teshi and Sakaya, which are Mitsuha's friends, but also his friends too, because all this time he spent in Mitsuha's body, he's become close to both of them. I mean, he spent so much time with them. Sees them, and he starts getting choked up, and then he sees Mitsuha's name.
Yeah.
And she is dead.
And this is...
and has been dead for years.
Yeah, this is when it turns from romantic comedy to, like, what is going on? And
yeah.
The whole time I'm engaged, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. But at this point, I'm like, whoa, like, this is a tonal shift that I did not see coming, because I went into this blindly. And that's why I say, if you haven't seen it, please go and see it before you listen to this. And if you haven't, then I'm sorry we just spoiled that for you, because that was a huge impact when I saw it live.
That was seriously like, it felt like a punch to the gut when you found out she was dead.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh my God.
And at this point, I was just kind of like, when is this? Because it's hard to keep track of timing in a movie when you're invested in it and you've been watching a while. It feels like, because I know it was only an hour and a half. And so I'm like, oh man, is it going to end soon? And like, this is going to be what happened? Like, this is the end of it?
Yeah, I was dreading the end, like, so much. I was like, please don't let this be the end.
Yeah, because there's many moments that it leads up to it. Like, oh my God, this is where it's going to cut off. Like, that's it. It's going to be unresolved, and I'm going to be really really sad for a while.
Yeah, I honestly thought this was going to be the end of it, but there was so much more left.
Yeah, truly.
Thankfully. So to explain what happens next, at one point when Taki was in Mitsuha's body, Mitsuha's grandmother brought Mitsuha and with Taki inside, and the little sister to walked through all these mountains and to this, basically this cave that they call the underworld. And it is like a sacred kind of place. And it's basically a place of offering to the gods. And they say that you can visit the underworld, but to leave the underworld, you have to leave something precious to you behind. So what they brought was the sake that Mitsuha and her sister had made, the rice sake, the two jars. And basically she said that this is half of you, you know, because it was made with their work and their saliva and stuff. This is half of them. So they left them in the cave when they left. So Taki, in his own body, is thinking about this, and he ditches his friends in the middle of the night. He goes out to this place by himself. He's tracking through all the mountains, finding his way back to that cave. He goes to the underworld, you know, inside the cave, and he sees that the sake jars are still there, and just gets this wild idea. So he takes the sake that was Mitsuha's and takes a drink of it, and he kind of falls backwards, and we see this crazy, like, I don't know, like animation, like him falling through like water and space. And we see the red ribbon coming off of him, and it turns into the comet. And that turns into like this whole montage of we're seeing Mitsuha's life from, I mean, literally from birth, from like conception. We're seeing her embryo split and become a baby and be born, and the umbilical cord cut, and her growing up. And you're seeing what happened to her mother, why her mother's not around, and why the father left, all the way up until her death. We see everything. And then Taki wakes up in Mitsuha's body, and we know it's the day that the comet is going to strike because her hair is short.
I mean, seeing it like that, I mean, you see, like you said, the red string connection, tying that scene back into the overall story as well. And then I can't remember from here, is this when... Okay, so she wakes up in his body as well in the shrine, right? I don't think... Is this at this point that happens?
So what happens is Taki in Mitsuha's body knows, okay, well, at first is like, oh, she's still alive. And then he's like, no, this is the day the comet hits. So then he is going around grabbing his friends, telling everyone we have to evacuate this town, trying to convince everyone what's happening, and then finds out a tidbit from Sakiya, which is like a beautiful little tidbit and made me happy and sad at the same time. That Mitsuha, the day before the comet hits, went to Tokyo to find Taki.
Oh, yes. And this is where it ties it back to that first scene that we see.
The very beginning.
Yeah.
But the problem is this was 3 years ago for Taki. So Taki had not experienced the switching yet where Mitsuha has. So she goes trying to find him. He's 3 years younger and doesn't recognize her. She's super upset that he kind of gives her this look, and they have this sort of realization, but they're on this train and the door is open. These guys are kind of pushing and she gets away from him, but she throws him the ribbon and says her name.
Yes.
And he's had that ribbon through the entire movie. He's had this ribbon tied around his wrist and he doesn't remember who gave it to him. When Mitsuha comes back to her town, she cuts her hair. And when her friends are like, oh, did you have a breakup or something? That's what it was because she was heartbroken because she found Taki and Taki didn't recognize her.
Yes. So it all ties together and it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's seeing it from Taki's perspective where it's like, wow, this is just a weird girl like coming up to me, because 3 years before he had no idea who she was. And it made that scene completely make sense from the beginning. So it's tying it together. While in Mitsuha's body, he also is speaking with the grandmother too, who relays the information to him that this body switching kind of thing is something that has run in her family to some degree.
Yes. So the grandma knew it wasn't Mitsuha in Mitsuha's body. It's happened to Mitsuha's mother. It happened to the grandmother also.
Right.
Which is cool. So she kind of understood and was able to give a little bit of words of wisdom and stuff, which is neat. The other thing that I really appreciated is when Taki got this revelation from Sakaya that Mitsuha went to look for him. He then knew because he was in love with Mitsuha. He didn't know Mitsuha was also in love with him. And this showed him that she was also in love with him. And then that's when something happens and he has this revelation of getting back to the underworld, you know, that cave, starts heading there. And then that's where Mitsuha wakes up in Taki's body there at the cave.
And this whole time, the comet is kind of looming over in Mitsuha's side of it. Well, in Taki and Mitsuha's body side of it. And it's just it's a ticking time bomb that we know is there. She knows it's there. And it's just like out from, you know, we don't really have a good kind of notification of what time it is. We know this is going to happen around 7:30 or something like that. But we don't know what time it is as these scenes are happening. So we're just kind of on edge, like, oh, hurry up, like speed up. This is gonna hit.
The whole time I'm like, oh, you don't have time. You don't have time to go there, man. You got to get out of there.
We're wasting time.
Like, get her body to a safe distance.
Yes.
And the one thing that was great was Taki knew from history what part of the town would not get destroyed. So he's having everyone go to the school because the school was not hit. They come up with this plan with Sakaya and Teshi to basically hijack the emergency broadcast system in the area.
Oh, to shut off the electricity also.
Yeah, he has Teshi blow up the power plant, which shuts off the electricity. And then the secondary generators come on, which gives the school, basically, I guess it gives the school precedence. And then Sakaya at the school can make the broadcast all throughout the town to get everybody to rally to the school or else they were going to die.
Oh, another thing that really tied back, and it wasn't a throwaway scene, was when Teshi was speaking with his father and he was telling him something about, I can't remember what the conversation was, but he was telling him something about you should be, you know, focusing on the
learning how to make explosives
because that's part of his job at whatever kind of
construction
is he's going on. So it didn't make sense at the time. I thought it was just another throwaway scene, but then right when this happened, I was like, oh, okay, that I get it.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's everything ties together. It's crazy. So as everyone's kind of evacuating stuff, Taki and Mitsuha's body rides a bike, crashes to the bike, gets all banged up and runs to the area where the underworld is.
It's like this mountaintop with kind of a crater inside of it.
Yeah, and then Mitsuha in Taki's body comes to the outside of it, and they're yelling each other's names because they sense their presence,
right,
and they can hear each other.
They're running around kind of the circumference of this mountaintop. They feel each other. They can kind of hear each other a little bit, but that's when the twilight comes into...
Twilight hits.
Yeah, into play.
And then it switches them back to their own bodies and they are standing face to face in front of each other. And I cried.
Yeah. That's
Mitsuha's bawling and like hugging him. And I lost it, dude. I lost it so hard. I'm starting to cry now just talking about it. My eyes are tearing up. This sucks.
It's
dang it, Jason.
Jason. It's so beautiful though. Just seeing
it
this
really
as
was.
It's happening. And It's kind of because still like you're unsure of exactly how this is going to end. Like this could be just a brief encounter that they have. And that's what it seems like it was at this time. But they knew this. So they're like, OK, well, let's write each other's names on our hands so that we don't forget each other because they.
Oh, and Taki gives the ribbon back to her, too, that he's held on for 3 years.
Oh, yes.
Says, I've saved it for 3 years. He's like, you goofball. I wouldn't have recognized you 3 years before this started happening. Like, why did you come back? And she's like, I didn't know that we were split apart by time.
And they're still kind of joking with each other a little bit, like, you know, almost like flirtatiously where she puts it in her hair.
I was accusing him of touching her boobs and stuff.
Yeah. She puts it in her hair and she's like, how does it look? Or does it look good? And he's like, eh. He's like, sure. Yeah.
She's like, you're lying.
Yeah.
And they're just laughing stuff and they start writing. Well, we think Taki writes his name on Mitsuha's hand and Mitsuha is about to write her name on his hand.
She just gets
makes a line and then disappears.
And then it disappears. The pin drops to the ground. You're just like, no,
Yeah, that was another punch to the gut. I was like, no, don't you dare.
Yeah.
I was like, don't you dare make it in here.
And, we find out. So Mitsuha, so they're back in their own bodies now. Mitsuha runs back to her town because her time is very limited at this point. And it almost feels like really many times it feels like the plan's not going to work out. They're not going to make it. And that's going to be it.
And there's this other heartbreaking problem going on at the same time, too, is they start forgetting each other's names and they're starting to like Taki's starting to forget why he's there. And he's like, no, I know I'm here for someone dear to me. Like I'm looking for them. why can't I remember them? And it took me a while to figure out why they were forgetting each other. And then I figured it out. And it is because Taki had been switching places with the version of a Mitsuha that died. But because of what happened, they created another timeline. And Mitsuha, who is now, I don't want to spoil it, but events are not playing out the way they originally did. This is a different Mitsuha now, because this is a Mitsuha that's going to surpass what the length of time she surpassed last time. So she has not been switching places with that Taki. So it's like basically an alternate timeline, and they're kind of split between it. So now they don't remember each other.
Yeah, now it does feel...
And it gives me a headache thinking about.
Now it does feel a lot like a dream, and those type of dreams, you just, it might be very vivid, but you start to forget it as you wake up. And this is what's happening, is it's fading and fading. Their names are fading from each other's memories. Obviously, Mitsuha was only able to draw that line on Taki's hand, so he can't make any sense of it, like whose name it is or anything like that. And then we get to see Mitsuha's hand.
The worst part.
She looks at it, and all it says on it is, I love you. And then it's like, oh my God.
Damn it, Jason.
Jason. So it's crunch time right now. Like, things are not looking great on Mitsuha's end. It's like history is going to repeat itself. It almost is a feeling like, well, this is fated to happen, so it's going to happen regardless. Because she's talking to her father, who's very stubborn about this, and is like, I'm not, for the longest time, and we don't even get to see him actually agree to this. He's just like, I'm not going to evacuate the town. I'm not going to make everybody go up to the school on your word. Like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Someone would have said something by now if that were the case.
Because at one point he found out that the school had been, broadcast system had been hijacked. Because he was at town hall and it wasn't coming from them.
Right.
So he's trying to stop everyone from running and taking shelter. And then Mitsuha is running back to him, trying to convince him, no, he's doing the wrong thing. They need to take shelter now. And then it cuts back to Taki 5 years in the future, and we don't know what happened to her. And I'm like, no, no, Jason.
Because it really feels like right there, like, oh, well, it just happened again. Like, that's it. So it is 5 years later for Taki. He's graduated from university. He's searching for his job. It's cutting back to that part where it's like, I feel like something important in my life is missing. And he's going around. He's looking for what this might be. In a restaurant, I think her friends Teshi and
Sakaya were in the restaurant in Tokyo, and I was like, oh my god, could it be?
Yeah. And he sees them, and he's like, I recognize them, but I don't know why at this point. But it's helping kind of tie this string back together, and and then the scene that, like, a really powerful scene is where So they're alive, which means Mitsuha is alive. And so
we think,
at this point. And so they're living their lives. Taki is on a train going back to his house. And as this train is passing the parallel train to it, Mitsuha is on that train, and they both kind of glance over and see each other. But it's one of those things where it's like, it's not an immediate, like, oh, I know exactly who this is. It's like, I feel like this is what's missing.
Yeah. It was like instant recognition, but they don't know why. But both of them were wide-eyed, alert. They were like, immediately got off those trains, and they're like, I have to find them.
Right.
Like, each of them is desperate to find the other.
And this part started making me cry, because I was like, it's so close, but so far every time. Because even after they see each other, like, it still starts to fade. It's fading every single second. And they come to a point where, like, Taki's at the top of this staircase and Mitsuha's at the bottom. They're the only people there. And you feel like it's going to be like, this is it. Like, this is where they're going to see each other and just run into each other's arms. And they just start, they're basically like, well, I don't remember even why I'm here. And they start just walking past each other. And
I know. I was like, no!
Yeah.
No!
Don't you do this, Jason! And then... So they see each other. So they do pass each other. And then I think it's Taki who first turns around.
Thank God.
Yes.
Taki turns around and says, I just have to ask you, have we met before? And Mitsuha turns around and she's bawling her eyes out.
Yeah.
And she says, I was going to say the same thing. And then Taki's bawling his eyes out. And then he says, oh, no, they both at the same time say, what was your name?
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was, I was a mess. I was crying so much.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it because of how it made me feel when I saw it.
Ugh. Yeah, I cried a lot.
It was like an emotional roller coaster for real.
It really was.
It went from romantic comedy to just like drama almost to what felt like it was going to be a really sad movie in the end. But
there's so many heartbreaking and bittersweet and beautiful moments all wrapped up in this movie. And like you said, it was a roller coaster because you were constantly hitting the highs and super desperate lows watching this thing. I mean, over and over and over. It was just like you're so emotionally drained by the end of the movie.
It was nonstop. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we drink some of that sweet, sweet spit sake lovingly made by our inner kids so we can bring them to the present to review Your Name.
This cartoon was so beautiful. It gives me hope that one day I'll be lucky enough to wake up every morning and also squeeze a pair of boobs. So I give this cartoon 5 bowls of Tiamat Comet cereal out of 5 with Saki Spit marshmallows.
From start to finish, this film had me completely engaged. What began as a comedic, be careful what you wish for-esque misadventure developed into a ride on an emotional roller coaster alongside 2 star and time-crossed lovers. With an incredibly compelling story, lovable, relatable characters, and a killer soundtrack to boot, this masterfully done anime film is deserving of all the praise it's received. I'd give Your Name 5 big bowls of Meteor Bite cereal out of 5, and think you should definitely check this one out. Even though I don't really understand love yet, this movie opened my eyes and my mind to the great lengths people will go to when tied together by the red string of fate. Even though this particular red string probably has cooties because it was in a girl's hair. Gross!
You know, I should have preferenced, you know, before my kid said what he said because he's a pervert, is that every time Taki woke up in Mitsuha's body, he was squeezing her boobs. And the best part, though, was the final time when he awoken her body, realizing that she was still alive.
And he was crying.
And not only is he squeezing the boobs, he's crying when the sister comes in. Because the sister opens the door every time and finds her squeezing the boobs. And he's just crying and wailing, squeezing them this time.
And this time the sister's like, I give up. Like, I can't do this. I can't go to school with her anymore. I'm done. I'm out of here.
She's like, she's gone insane.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Oh, that is hilarious.
I was laughing hysterically at that part.
There is a lot of levity even in those really heartbreaking scenes. Well, not the heartbreaking scenes necessarily, but even around all the heartbreaking things that are going on, there's a lot of levity. So that's appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank God, because we needed it. So do you have any final thoughts about Your Name?
I mean, I'd say even if you don't think that anime is a thing for you, I would say go check it out. Like I said, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, then I'm sorry because we ruined it for you a little bit or spoiled it for you at least. But I think even still, you could go check it out and appreciate what's there. It was definitely a surprise to me not knowing anything about it. Maybe one of the most powerful animes I've seen in a very long time, if not one of the most powerful I've seen ever. So take that for what you will. And hopefully you've already watched it if you're listening to this, but if you haven't, please, please, please go see it.
Yeah, man, I loved this film so much. And you know what? There are a couple of plot holes here and there, but this movie was so beautiful that none of it bothered me in the slightest. And having listened to other people review this after I watched it and after I had written my notes, I found that a lot of people had a problem with the fact of Taki and Mitsuha falling in love. They're like, how could they fall in love? They never met in person until they were already in love. And, you know, maybe it's just because I'm kind of a hopeless romantic kind of guy that I never questioned it. I mean, I think about, like, they know everything about each other because they are experiencing each other's lives. each other's families, their friends, and even their each other's bodies. Plus, I mean, they're constantly writing to each other every day. They're affecting each other's lives, developing passion for wanting to see each other succeed or trying to protect each other. So to me, this felt extremely organic. Like, this was like the ultimate love story, and it will probably remain one of my favorite, not just animes, but films for a very long time.
Yeah, my counter to those comments would be the way that I was looking at it, I don't see how they couldn't have fallen in love.
Exactly, exactly.
I with everything you just said, it's just like how, if you see this and you still feel that way, then I kind of feel like you're missing the point, but that's me being pretty judgmental. So I'm not going to say that for sure, but the way that you and I felt about it, I think we're on the same wavelength here.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, again, thank you, Jason. I'm sorry that we yelled at you so much, but it was out of love.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Even though you made us cry again
so much.
Yeah, I do want to thank you, and then Kleenex should probably thank you also.
Yeah,
because I think I had to buy extra boxes.
Right.
Yeah.
We still talk about Life with Louie here and there. So your shows, your suggestions leave a lasting impression on us for sure.
And I think I scored points because I don't think my girlfriend knew I was as sensitive as I am, and like had no idea I was going to cry as much as I did. So that was fun.
Nice. We'll see. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. So thank you, Jason.
Yes, thank you.
Mad sack.
Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, we'll be watching
Over the Garden Wall, suggested via Twitter by Doc at Bassett Nelson.
Nice. I actually have read a couple issues of that comic, so I'm really curious to see how the show is.
I have never heard of it.
Oh, the comic's great, so I'm hoping the show holds up.
I did not know it was a comic.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So
I like comics.
So cool. So thank you, Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
All right. And once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris. Back to my original body.
Oh, yeah, right. And we'll see you next Saturday.
Jason.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.